If you would take the Word of God with me this morning, turn to Genesis chapter number 4. Genesis chapter 4. Thankful as always for the opportunity to preach the Word of God this morning. Do pray for safety for those traveling back. We do have quite a number of our folks down at the Wilds this week, and so pray for them. They'll be traveling back. Should be hitting the road here any moment now. They finish up their last session and have a meal together and then head back home this morning. So pray for safety for all of those involved as they travel back today. Genesis chapter 4 this morning, we'll begin our reading verse number 1 and praying God will use this to His glory for all of us this morning. Genesis chapter 4, look at verse 1. The Bible says, "And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, Why hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him." We'll stop our reading there this morning. But I want to focus on this idea or this thought process as we go through this message or this passage of Scripture this morning, on contrasting paths. We're going to study this morning two brothers that I'm sure you're very familiar with this morning, but I want to present to you this morning that these two individuals grew up in the same home, they had the same opportunities, and they had the same advantages or disadvantages of anyone else. They were on equal playing field. There was nothing that one could be said about one that could not be said about the other. I want you to remember this statement, and the Lord brought this to my mind, and if you would like, if you take notes, if you want to pin this down, and it's not earth-shattering or anything like that, but our outlook determines our outcome. And as you look at this, as we look at this story this morning, and as we study this together, we're going to see multiple things that affect those that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and those who have not. And we all must come to an understanding of what God has placed before us as decisions to make day in and day out, and whether we choose to follow what God has for our life or we choose to go a different path. I believe that statement rings true. Our outlook determines our outcome. And we'll look at this passage together this morning. Let's pray and ask God to help us today. Our Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the opportunity and privilege that we have to be in Your house this morning. We thank You for the Word of God. We thank You that when we hold it in our hands, when we open it, when we read it, we understand that we are opening and reading the very thoughts of Almighty God. And Lord, that we are reading what You divinely inspired and divinely preserved throughout the ages, that we may attain it and attain the wisdom that is found within it. And Lord, that through it, and as we read it and apply it to our lives, is all the power of Almighty God. It is the ability of eternal life if we accept the message of the gospel that is clearly presented in it. And Lord, as we read this morning, afresh and anew, a story that many have heard from their early childhood, Lord, we pray that You would anoint it with the Holy Spirit this morning, that You would just give us a fresh sense of what you have for us as your people today. Lord, we ask you to meet with us. Lord, would your presence be clearly felt here in our midst this morning? Lord, we do pray for our pastor today as he's away. Would you keep him safe, his family safe? And Lord, allow him to come back to us as quickly as possible. And Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. Lord, would you bless and work in our time together in the Word of God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We live in a world that is full of contrasting ideas of how to come to a relationship with God. We live in a world with contrasting ideas of how to, or what life will look at beyond this current landscape that we're living in. And I share with individuals often as I'm given opportunities to speak, I sometimes fall into the trap of sitting and daydreaming. Do you do this? Do you sit and daydream about certain things at certain times? I sometimes stop and I just start thinking about heaven. And I start thinking, and it gets a bit, when you start thinking about it, and you think of it in terms of what Scripture tells us about it, you start thinking and you start saying, wow, it's almost too good to be true that this is going to happen. And you start trying to analyze and to think about, well, what's my life going to look like? I have children ask me this all the time. I get opportunity to come and speak to the very, very little ones in our school a few times here and there. And one time I speak to K-5 in first grade. My son's in K-5. And I speak to them on Wednesdays. We come right down here in the auditorium and I speak to them. It is hilarious, okay? And then I had opportunity to speak for Pastor. Pastor speaks to the 3-year-olds and the 4-year-olds every Friday. And I got to speak to them this Friday. They asked the funniest questions. I was telling them the story about Noah and the ark. And then immediately a little one piped up afterward and wanted to know if their, I think it was their cat or their dog, if they were going to go to heaven with them. You answer it. I'm not answering it. I said, sure. If that's what it makes to heaven to you, then I'm not going to crush your little dreams. No, I didn't tell them that. I said, well, there'll be animals there. I don't know if your specific one will be there, but there will be animals there. But you just start thinking about it, and it almost becomes like this ultra reality of, man, how can this legitimately happen someday, and what's it going to look like? You know what? We live in a world that is full of people that have a varying viewpoint on how to come to a relationship with God and what eternity, or even if there is an eternity, what that all looks like. And as tempting as it would be, and it is tempting to say, well, just you come to God however you can come to God, and you just do the best you can with what God's given you, and I'm sure we'll all end up in the same location. As tempting as that is to say, we find very clearly in this story and in many other stories of Scripture, there is a right path and there is a wrong path to Almighty God. And here you have two brothers living, and many believe, and we can't confirm this for sure, but many believe that these were twins as well, that were living side by side all throughout their journey. And as we go through this, you'll see that they had the same opportunities, they had the same abilities, they had the same opportunities. Can you imagine? They were the heirs of everything God had put on the earth. Their parents were the originators of mankind and of the generations and everything that was out there in the world. They were the pioneers of all of it. All of it was at the tips of their fingers to be possible for them to obtain and to achieve in their life. But yet, as we look at this morning, two brothers picked contrasting lives. Can I show you just a few things here from Scripture this morning that shows these contrasting paths that these brothers walked down? Number one, the contrast of Cain and Abel. Let's see first, personally, the contrast between these two. First off, we see their first contrast within their occupations. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says, and she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. These individuals decided to go different paths with their, or God had given them different skills and abilities of what they would achieve. And some of you can probably identify with some of that. Maybe some of you love animals, and there's another individual in your house that despises animals. And maybe it's a pulling between the two. My wife and I land kind of in the middle. I don't hate animals. I just think a lot of times there are a lot of trouble to have animals in the home. My wife thinks animals are an extension of people, okay, and that they should just be with us all the time, okay? So a little bit of contrasting viewpoints there. But these two guys, and there's nothing wrong with the choice of their occupation. And can I say that as we go through this, where they came to be at odds with Almighty God had nothing to do with their occupation. It had nothing to do with what they chose to do throughout their time. It was their varying responses and attitudes towards Almighty God. But they varied in their occupation, but they varied in their offerings. And this is where we get to the crux of the issue in verse number 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. We see the contrast of their offering. First of all, we see Cain's offering in verse 3. Cain's offering is of self-reliance. He brought of the fruit of the ground of an offering unto the Lord. Folks, understand this morning, it had already very plainly been told to the generations the offering that God expected. God expected a blood sacrifice to be made. He gave that as a demonstration in the earlier parts of Genesis when his covering for the sin of Adam and Eve was taken by the shedding of blood of an animal to cover them with their skins. They knew the parameters in which their offering was supposed to come. But as you and I are often attracted to doing, Cain fell back on what he was reliant upon, of what his skill set was, of what was easy for him. Can you apply this to you and I as you live your life? There are certain areas where we feel very comfortable. There are certain things that we feel familiar with, and we gravitate to those things. And oftentimes in our relationship with Almighty God, we tend to do the exact same thing. We gravitate to that which we're comfortable with, not always what God calls us to do. This manifests itself so often in our communication with individuals about the Lord. Some of us are not comfortable with the communication about this to people, and we may vary and may change what God's directive is to give out the gospel to every individual we come into contact with. We may vary that because we say, oh, that's not what I'm comfortable with. I can relate to this in a very real way. My wife and I are very different in this area as well. She is a people person through and through, 125%, okay? I say this lovingly after many years of marriage. I shudder when I send her into Walmart anymore by herself, okay? You say, why? Not because she'll spend too much money, but because she will find a friend in Walmart, okay? And it's not somebody she's ever met before. It's a brand new stranger. But by the time the 5-minute, 10-minute conversation is over, they're best friends. And I'm coming saying, honey, we got to go. And she just made this friendship there. And it's not something she seeks out. It's just people pour their hearts out to her in Walmart. Now, I'm not that way. That may surprise you. I do well in group settings, okay? And I like to be up front. I'm not trying to be boastful. I do. I like to be up front. I like to speak. I like to do all those things. But then when I leave, I want to go into a cubby somewhere and just hide. I just want to be alone by myself in those types of settings. And we oftentimes, we manifest our obedience to God in saying, God, I'll do this because I'm comfortable with it. I'll do this because it's what I'm used to. I'll do this because it's what I'm skilled in. But don't ask me to do anything else. Don't ask me to have a difference of my approach in this area because I'm not comfortable with that. And Cain said, I know I need to give an offering unto God. I know I need to give him something, but this is what I'm proud of. Look at this. I have grown a wonderful garden. I've grown, I'll give him the best. They're not rotten. They're not the smaller of the things that I've grown, but I'll give him this because I'm proud of it. You know what the difference is here? Cain's offering was of self-reliance, but Abel's was a spiritual request. You know what Cain was showing? Turn back just one page in your Bible to Genesis chapter 3. Abel was asking for exactly what God had done for his parents just earlier in the story of this family. And unto Adam, verse 21 of chapter 3, also unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. You know what Abel's asking when he brings the firstlings of his flock? He's asking for God to clothe his sin, to cover his sin, and to give him a pardon and a forgiveness of all that he would done, that he would do. As Cain came to make his request unto God, or his offering unto God, he comes out of a self-motivation of, look what I've done, God. You should be proud of me for what I've done. Abel comes and says, Lord, I'm ashamed of what I've done. Would you forgive me? Would you cleanse me of my sin? You see, Cain came out of a attitude of self-promotion. Abel came fully knowing who he was and asking God to cover that. Would you notice not only their occupation, their offerings, but their outlook? Cain relied upon what he had produced. Abel relied upon what God had produced. Folks, we must realize in our lives as God leads us down a path, and I fully understand this morning that you and I will not be as Cain and Abel and have the same set of circumstances and the same walk of life and the same things that we are approached with in our lives. But God gives us the same ability to accept what God has done for us on the cross of Calvary freely. He allows each one of us to make the choice to claim it as our own. And as we walk the path that God has given us to walk, we must analyze in our lives, are we seeking to present to God as a sacrifice what we have produced or what He produced? Are we claiming as our own the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and no good works of my own, all the works of Jesus Christ? And I say this to the individual that may be sitting under the sound of my voice that has never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. That's the only gift that God will ever accept, is the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ and His payment on the cross of Calvary, not anything that I have done. And I say to the Christian that listens to me this morning, in your Christian life, all that God will ever accept is what He's produced, not what you've produced. You see, God's desire is that what I produce would flow out of what He has produced. Can you notice something with me as we dig in here just a little bit to the wording of this passage? Look at the end of verse 4. I had never realized this until I read this last time, this last week in studying for this message. Look at verse number 4 at the end of it. The Bible says, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Look at verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. You see how he ties the two together? He says, not only is it's not just the offering. It's not just what you brought to me. He said, it's to the individual. You see, the Bible teaches us very clearly that God is the discerner of the heart. He discerns down to our very intention of our heart. And God said, it's not the offering solely. It was the wrong offering. It wasn't a blood sacrifice, but it wasn't solely the offering. It was the person. Because you see, here's the difference. If Cain had been right in his outlook, his offering would have been right. You see, oftentimes we make excuses as individuals. We make excuses as human beings and we say, well, I didn't know. Or I tried. I tried to give my best. I tried to do this. And we claim ignorance, but often it's our outlook that is determining what our sacrifice or what our offering unto God really is. There are times when we may live in such a way where we say, well, this is what I'm going to give Him. If He likes it, He does. If He doesn't, He doesn't. I believe that was Cain's attitude as he came, was, here it is. This is the best that I could produce. He better be happy with this. He better be blown away by this. We got to go Friday we took the kids down to Cox Farms. Maybe you've probably been there and seen the different things they have. And I was amazed by some of the pumpkins there. Anybody been there recently for the fall season? They had some pumpkins for sale, and they used to buy the pound. So I started doing the math in my head, and I can't, so I stopped. But I was looking, and they were huge. I mean, you could sit on these things. They were such big pumpkins. That's what I think of when I think of Cain bringing this offering. As I was thinking about this message while we were there, I was like, man, that's probably what Cain did. He was like, look, this is like the blue ribbon at the county fair type produce that I'm bringing. Can I say to you this morning, when what we offer to God is just polished up pride, Lord, I've brought you the best that I could, but really, I've just polished up what I think is so great about myself and said, here, you can have it. But Abel relied upon what God had done for his parents and what he knew he needed for himself. And in essence, he said, Lord, I have nothing to offer you. When my outlook on life becomes what it's supposed to be, I look at my Savior in His majesty and in His glory, and I say, there's nothing that I could give to Him that would be deserving of who He is and His love. And so I give to Him what He has produced. Lord, I claim for my own the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. I don't deserve it. I don't know why you offered it. But I realized nothing in myself could save me, could take me to heaven someday for all of eternity. And I'm not going to try to do anything else to add to it, but just fully rely upon what you've done for me. I believe that's the attitude that Abel had as he came in this story to Almighty God. So we see the contrast through their occupations, their offerings, and their outlook. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, when I come with the right outlook, it's all about Christ. It's nothing about me. And God's desire is that I would have the outlook that Abel had versus what Cain had. Number two, not only do we see the contrast of Cain and Abel, but we see the countenance of Cain following correction. Look at verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Can I say, along with our outlook determining our outcome, can I say how we respond to correction is paramount? Do you see this with your kids? And maybe those of you that have had multiple children, you see the differences between the personalities and the difference in the response. But have you ever thought as a parent, as you're correcting your child, you watch and you say, I really don't like their countenance right now. It's not even what they did, it's their response as I've corrected them to it. But how beautiful it is in our lives when we see that manifested in our children's lives, when we say, I can move on, we can move on together and have an encouraging communication between each other because we've seen the proper countenance or the proper response to that correction. Can I say, as human beings, we hate correction. We despise it. 34 years old, and I still have not learned fully the lesson of accepting criticism the way that we should. And God says here to Cain, why is your countenance fallen? Can you notice the next thing with me? Not only do we see his poor countenance, but can you see how, and this is how our God is always. Despite our response, look at number 3 here in verse number 6, the continued offering of grace to Cain. Look at verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. You see this morning? God says here, the proper sacrifice was clearly explained. He says, why is your countenance fallen? If you do right, you'll be blessed. If you don't, you won't. It's pretty simple, right? You know what? God lays that out for us all throughout Scripture. Here's the path. Here's what I want you to follow. And we're surprised when the outcome in our life is not what we desire for it to be. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You see, God gave us the Word of God so that we may clearly look and see what is wrong with our lives, what needs to be adjusted in our lives, and can make it right. And even through this, what had taken place and the poor countenance of Cain, God says, here, this is how to make it right. This is what you did wrong. Here's how you can do it right. And he continued to offer him what he did not deserve. And can I say to you this morning, this is exactly what God does with you and I. As we are wrong, if we are willing to be corrected and say, this is what we should not be doing based off the Word of God, God says, if you'll realize that and you'll allow yourself to be corrected, you'll allow yourself to be put back on the right path, God says, you'll find blessing. You'll find great blessing in your life if you allow yourself to realize the proper sacrifice or the proper steps that God desires for you to take. And God gives very clear instruction to Cain. This is what you must do. Here's the sad part of the story. Look at verse 8. This is the culmination or the conclusion overall of Cain's rebellion. It says, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. The Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. But you notice this morning that the culmination or the ending of Cain's rebellion begins with death. Brings the death of Abel, his brother, as he allowed the jealousy and the anger and the bitterness to manifest itself in his life to a point that in the opportune moment he rose up against his brother and he slew his own brother. This is a dramatic conclusion of what's been building in this story of almost a 0 to 100 reaction of Cain of going to this point of committing murder against his brother Abel. And as God comes down, the lingering attitude of Cain is still coming through, even after coming to a point of committing murder in this. He is still abstinent to God. He is still obstinate to God. He is still in turmoil with God. He is still angry over God's decision. And it comes screaming through the pages. He says, am I my brother's keeper? I don't know where he is. Folks, there is a clear picture being given to us here of the attitude that leads one direction and the attitude that leads another direction. One attitude leads us towards a relationship with Almighty God and a hope of heaven someday and a close walk with Almighty God. The other leads to destruction and to peril in our lives. Not only did it bring death here in his life, but look, as he keeps going, it brings a denial of what's taking place. And oftentimes when we're resistant to correction, we're resistant to anyone saying there's anything wrong with my life, when we're resistant to that, it lingers into a point where it becomes denial of saying, there's nothing. I'm all right. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm doing what I can to help others. I'm walking in the best way that I can in my life. And there's a denial of, there's nothing wrong with me. I don't know anything about this, what's going on. And this rebellion, it brings this animosity and this resistance to Almighty God between Cain and the Lord. And then also it brings destitution. Look, as this story concludes in verses 10 through 15, and he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." And Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." And the Lord said unto him, "Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. This destitution, it causes Cain to lose everything that he values. He loses his hobby. He loses his home. The things that got him into trouble that he loved so much in his pride that he was able to present to Almighty God. God says, now anything you try to do in the ground, it's not going to grow. It's not going to produce any type of fruit because it's cursed for you now. And it causes him to be driven out of the very presence of Almighty God, both physically and spiritually. He has to leave his home and everyone that he's familiar with, he wants nothing to do with him. And then he goes off and he dwells in the land of Nod. When you look up the reason, and there always used to be a reason, I don't know if there is today, but there always used to be a reason that places were called what they were called. And he moves off to the land of Nod, and it literally means a trembling or a shaking. And it gives us such a vivid picture that for the rest of his days, Cain lived in an unshaking or an unsettled and a quivering and a constant unsettledness type of condition because of his rebellion towards Almighty God. And God says here as he goes out, Cain's fearful for his life. Remember, generations had not been around long. They are early on in the process. Word of mouth would have spread very quickly about what Cain had done to Abel. And he says, when I go out of this place, everyone that findeth me is going to try to kill me. And God says he's placing a mark upon Cain so that anybody that sees him will not kill him. And I had often heard this preached and talked about as God showing grace to Cain in the end and saying, I'll put a mark on him to protect him. But folks, I don't think that's what the Bible's telling us here. God put a mark on Cain because he had placed punishment upon Cain that was intended to be lived out for the remainder of Cain's life. And God put a mark on Cain so that anybody that saw him would not shorten that punishment that God had placed on him. He put a mark upon him so that no one would take into their own hands what God had already passed as judgment upon Cain's life. He says, no, you're going to have to live with this for the rest of your life. And folks, that's a sobering reality for you and I, but the message screams very clear from the Word of God. Those that choose the path of Abel and they come with a right sacrifice, meaning that they realize that the only way to a relationship and to knowing God personally in their life is to accept Him as Lord and Savior into their life and accept the free gift of salvation that He offers through His death on the cross. Those that choose Abel's path, that will be their end. You go on to read the book of Genesis and you read of the generations that come after that come from Abel and the blessing that was there and the destitution that was for those that came from Cain and from Cain's personal suffering through the rest of his life. And the picture is very clear for those that go the path of Cain. At some point, in the process of time, when this life has passed away and the life, when eternal life has come onto the scene, God says there will be nothing that will keep the individual that has rejected God, that has rejected His sacrifice, that has rejected His free gift of salvation. God says that individual will have to live with that decision for the rest of eternity. And it does not please me, it does not give me great satisfaction to say that this morning. It pains me. But what God has placed in His Word is the direct path that He has placed before each one to accept Him, to get, as Abel got, the covering of his sin by the right sacrifice. You see, when I get to the end of myself and I finally say, God, I'm not going to rely upon anything I've done, any good works, any charitable things that I've done for other people, I'm not going to take any of that for myself, because I realize that in the grand scheme of things, that's nothing. But I realize that because of who I am as a sinner, that I've said, done, or thought something in the course of my life that displeases God, that because of being guilty of one thing, it makes me guilty of all. And when I come to the end of myself and say, there is nothing that I can do to make this okay in and of myself. There's nothing that I can do to restore or to create a relationship with God in and of myself. But I realize that that only comes through the shedding of blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when I come to the end of myself and I come and just say, I have nothing to offer You, I only can receive what You've already done for me. God says that is the attitude. That is the outlook. That is the path of life that God says He accepts and will propel us forward in not only a relationship with God now, but in an eternal relationship with Him in heaven someday. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. In the quietness of this moment, I ask each one just to take just a moment to reflect inward. And there could be multiple things here this morning that God could be speaking to you about. And I won't try to speak to each one of those individually. But perhaps this morning God is arresting someone's attention afresh and anew of their need of salvation, their need of accepting Christ as Savior. Maybe you've been resistant to that. And maybe you say, there's never been a time and a place when I've placed my personal faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm uncertain if I'm on my way to heaven when I die. Maybe that's you this morning. And in just a moment, we'll have a verse of invitation played, and there'll be people here along the front that will take a Bible and they'll show you very plainly how God says someone goes to heaven. But we're not going to give you our opinion. We're not going to ask you to join our church. We're not going to ask you to give a donation of some kind to be accepted. We're just going to show you what the Bible says and allow you to make the choice to choose to trust God and what His Word says. Or maybe there's a believer here this morning and God's dealing with you and saying you accepted the path for salvation, but maybe the path afterward you've strayed from just a bit as a believer. He said, I'm not following what God wants for my life today. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to come and to play a verse of invitation. If you would stand with me all over the auditorium as we have this time. Father, as we have this time of invitation, I ask for the Holy Spirit to move and to work. Forgive us of where we failed Thee. And Lord, unite our hearts this morning as a group of people gathered together. And Lord, as believers gathered this morning, we believe that where we are, where we meet together and are unified in our love and our admiration of you, that you meet with us. And Lord, I ask for you to meet with us even now. Lord, would you just bless and work in individuals' hearts? We'll give you praise and glory for it. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, the verse of meditation is being played. You don't have to come forward. I do urge you, if God is dealing with your heart about the issue of salvation, you say, I want to know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven when I die. I encourage you, come speak with someone. Don't leave today with doubts. And maybe that person is sitting around you. And even now, with every head bowed, nobody's looking, nobody's judging you right now. But maybe you just seek out somebody that you're comfortable with to talk to. And you say, I need to talk to you about this. I don't want to let this linger in my heart. I want to be sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Or Christian, maybe you need to just take a moment there in your pew or down here at the altar and just say, Lord, help me to stay on the path you have for my life. To give you the offering you want, not the offering I want to give you. We ask God to work in this time.